Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me this evening via Skype and through many technical difficulties is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, the entire Islander season is over. They have been embarrassed at home by the Boston Bruins. Everybody's hurt. That's it. Turn out the lights. We can all go home, right?
Yeah, that's definitely what it feels like. It feels like the Islanders are going to be the first team in NHL history to finish 2 points out of a division or win a division and still, you know, have their season end before the playoffs. So kudos to them for doing a very Islanders.
If anybody could do it, it's definitely them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's been a kind of dark couple of days. I don't know how else. I feel like we're in, like, what is the sunken place? Is that what it's called?
It's Stranger Things. No, that's the Upside Down. The sunken place is Get Out.
Right, Get Out. Yes, yeah. That's what I feel like. We're trying to punch our way out of there.
Yeah,
but can't.
It's definitely a combination of those two places: the Upside Down, the sunken place. Yeah, it's all of these bad things all rolled into one. And of course, it feels that way because we are one day removed from the Islanders being embarrassed, shellacked, got their butt whipped, you know, dismantled is how our friends at Stanley Cup of Chowder put it, by the Boston Bruins. And, you know, like, we've talked about the Bruins being way better at the Islanders at that type of game before. And you know, them losing to the Bruins really, you know, in a vacuum isn't the end of the world. But the way it went down was really galling. I mean, if you haven't watched the game, by all means, do not go back and watch it. It was 5-0. The score was kind to the Islanders. They were outshot 39-13. It's the lowest shot total they've had at home this year, perhaps ever. I forget. Two goals went in off of the Islanders just overskating the puck and the Bruins being there. It was terrible. And I mean, you were there. So, I mean, people watching at home didn't even feel the full brunt of how awful that game was, right?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, I was there with my better half, and she's from Boston and is a Bruins fan. So even at the end, like towards the end of the game, she started to feel kind of bad, which I guess is kind of gives you a look at the type of people we are. Because if that was the other way around and the Islanders were up 5-0 on Boston in TD Garden, like, I'd be having a party.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's terrible. It was like the Coliseum felt like it was in, you know, the dark years of like the late 90s or you know, 2009-10, whatever bad year you want to point to. It emptied out pretty quickly. It was there were a ton of Bruins fans there, and you know, it was just like an angry environment to be in if you were an Islander fan, because you just wanted to I wanted to go down to the ice and just like yell at every one of those players individually, because really nobody, I mean, Robin Leonard wasn't great, but he was probably the only one who showed up to that game.
When you're outshot 39-13, it's not the goalie's fault. I know there's a couple that he probably would want back in Butch Goring parlance, but give the dude a break. the team was outshot 39-13. Like, you know, 5 goals going in is actually pretty good, all things considered. But yeah, I would let him off the hook.
He, it was his first game. I thought it was actually kind of a shrewd move by Trotz to start him in that game. Grice was coming off first start of the week, and he was playing so well, and Leonard hadn't played since his injury, and I was like, it's like the right team to play him against, because it's kind of like, yes, the Islanders needed to win that game because they need to win every game, but it's the type of game where it's like, you know, it's if a couple bad goals go in and Robin Leonard is, you know, at fault for losing a game against, you know, the Senators or something, it's much different than playing a team like that. So I thought, you know, like, the right decision to start him and let him like get his legs back under him, but the team just completely let him down, like completely.
Yeah, that really
they sucked. Let all of us down, though.
They let all of us down except for the guys who got hurt, and we're gonna spend a lot of the second half of this episode talking about Valtteri Filppula and Jordan Eberle and Cal Clutterbuck and Tanner Fritz, how he works into all this, and we'll get to all that. But yeah, I mean, they left. Thomas Hickey called the game gross. The Islanders were left beaten and battered and bewildered as to what happened. And it was coming off of a game that the Islanders played on Sunday in Minnesota, where they won 3-2 in overtime. They did not play well in that game particularly either. They played fine in the first period. The shots were 9 apiece and things were seeming okay. But they ended up getting outshot 34-21 by the Wild. The Wild were 2-for-6 on the power play, which is uncharacteristic of the Islanders too. But the Islanders won 3-2 in overtime, and it was funny because as poorly as they played in that game, they came away with a win. And one day before, they had been in Detroit and outplayed the Red Wings from the opening faceoff. They were by far the better team in that game and lost because Jonathan Bernier decided to turn into Terry Sawchuk or Chris Osgood or Dominic Hasek or Jim Rutherford or, you know, whoever your Red Wings goalie of choice is, Tim Cheveldae, if you're an old NHL video game player. And he just was unbeatable. I mean, he made 41 saves, and at that point you kind of tip your cap and you're like, oh, what are you going to do? And that game came off of the heels of a great game they played against the Montreal Canadiens, who we're going to talk again about later, at the Coliseum. They won that game, the Islanders did, 2-1. Carey Price stood on his head, but the Islanders managed to beat him twice, once with about 5 minutes to go, Anders Lee and Matthew Barzal hooking up for the goal there. So, I mean, it was a combination of two good games, two bad games, two wins in weird ways. So, you know, we're joking about obviously about their season being over, but this is kind of a weird time to be sort of up and down like this. I mean, Arthur Staples said in his Q&A on the Athletic today, this is when you should be like gearing up and toning up for the playoffs, not being like, oh my God, what team is going to show up next?
I couldn't agree more. I remember like last year, Trotz had those Capitals. They kind of were up and down all season, but the last like 15 games, they just got their act together. And I was kind of looking forward to see if the Islanders could do that. And I just starting with that Red Wings game. I mean, they had not had a game like that all season where they had just completely 100%. Like you couldn't make an argument against them deserving to win that game in regulation, but they couldn't do it. It reminded me, you just were listing all those Red Wings goalies, but Joey McDonald had, I think he had like, yeah. Do you remember that like 59, whatever?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure another one of those games where the Islanders ended like a drought against a team that lasted years.
Weren't we just talking about that game like 2-3 episodes ago?
I think
it came up recently.
I think that, no, well, that we're talking about the Grice game, I think, against the Canadians, maybe. Oh, right. So it was like basically the same kind of situation where the Islanders, you know, were having trouble beating a team and a goalie finally stood on his head. But yeah, that Joey McDonald game, I'll never forget. I was like,
it was like a New Year's Eve,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yep, yeah. And I think they went 2-1 or something. But
right.
Yeah, so like, you know, that game just completely deserved, the Islanders deserved it. And it was coming off the back of a really Trotz Islanders style victory against the Canadians, in a game that, like, I mean, I was saying afterwards, like, I've seen that game so many times in my life as an Islander fan, and been on the Canadian side of it where you kind of hang with a team that was playing better than you and they still find a way to score in overtime. I mean, before it gets to overtime, so you come away with nothing. So I was still feeling pretty good Saturday afternoon. And then, yeah, that Wild game, I don't know, like, maybe they just, you know, maybe ran out of gas a little bit. But, you know, kudos to Thomas Greiss for playing well on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting 4 out of those 6 points, you could definitely argue was probably the fair result. You know, they deserved 2 wins and probably a loss. And, you know, it was feeling fine. I was feeling like this team, the Wild game certainly was a little worrisome, but I felt like they kind of had fought their way out of, you know, whatever shadowy place they were in. And then that Bruins game came and it just, you know, rock bottom so quickly. They went crashing down in that game, just crashing down.
Yeah. Scott Mayfield said, you know, one team was playing May hockey and the other was playing October hockey. And you could see some of the replies to, I forget whose tweet it was, but the replies were like, dude, that was like September hockey. That was like, you know, summer hockey. It wasn't whatever you guys were doing. And it was demoralizing and it was very un-Trotzian, let's put it that way. You know, I mean, this is a team that has gotten very, very far on work ethic and structure. I mean, that's the word we've probably used more than any other this season. And, you know, if they've lost a game, it's usually because they kind of deserve to, although the Red Wings game is kind of the outlier there. And they just didn't put forth the effort And, you know, again, they are kind of an undermanned team, and they need everybody. They need all 22 guys pulling in the same direction. But nobody was pulling in any direction in that Bruins game. I mean, I think Anders Lee may have had two shots, right? I think that he was, like, the leader in the clubhouse. And it's just, you know, it's – you hope that – and we're getting to their upcoming schedule involves another game against the Canadiens, this time in Montreal. The Canadiens are coming off of a win over Philly that I don't want to say put the stake in the Flyers, but it's pretty close. And so the Canadiens are trying to claw back into it. And so you hope that it's just an outlier. It's a one-off thing. You know, teams have bad games, and that's going to – I mean, I think the Senators beat the Lightning sometime earlier this season, and just that kind of stuff happens. But they don't have any time to sit around and think about it. Like, they have to go into Montreal – and they have to beat the Canadiens. Like, that, it's pretty tight right now. The loss, it's funny because the loss to the Red Wings came on a day where the Caps and Penguins lost too. So it didn't really hurt the Islanders that much. And then the win in Minnesota put them right back into first place. The game against the Bruins, the Caps won, I think, the night before, and Islanders losing to the Bruins couldn't vault them up near them. And then also the Penguins and Hurricanes went to a shootout, which was won by Carolina. So everything got a lot tighter, and the Islanders need to get that game in Montreal if they're going to, you know, solidify themselves and separate themselves again. Still, the Athletic has them at a 98% chance to make the playoffs. They have their magic win number is 11, according to Eric Hornick, which could be down to 7 with a win against the Canadiens, who are in 9th place. So, you know, it happened. There's not much we can do about it. Burn the tape, as Arthur Staples said, but they can't sit around and think about it. They need to get a win Thursday night in Montreal. End of story. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
And hopefully they've needed to do that before, and they've done it. So
I think, you know, it sucked that they lost that way, but hopefully it's a, you know, an opportunity for the coaching staff to peel the paint, I guess, a little bit, and kind of just, like, you know, kick these guys into gear. I think we forget a little bit that, this team is, besides not having much talent on the roster, like, this is, like, kind of the first go around for a lot of these guys in this sort of race, you know, Barzal, right, and Devon Taves, especially, like, so these are important players who, Beauvillier, like, that haven't been in this situation before. And then obviously there are a ton of guys who are on the other side of that spectrum have been through it, like, a million times. And they're, so now hopefully they're the guys that are pulling, you know, these guys forward and trying to show, you know, the way, because that's the point. You know, when all these guys were signed, you know, there was like, well, you need that kind of, you know, winning character in the room. So now it's time for that to show up in pulling their weight and getting these guys on board and showing them, you know, like, we gotta, you know, I think Barzal's, like, gripping this. He's playing so well. I think yesterday maybe not, but he was probably the most visible forward, I would say. Like, he made a couple really nice plays in the offensive zone. I thought he was fine, but he's just not scoring, and you know, he's not really having, like, a production type impact on every game. But if these guys can kind of get Barzal and Beauvillier and Devon Taves, like, over the line, the Islanders are in a really good, they're still in a really good spot, even though it feels like they're, you know, a game away from being eliminated if they lose to the Canadiens tomorrow, especially with the kind of roster maneuverings. I feel like Islander Twitter will just implode.
Yeah. No, that's the way it feels. And I think part of that too is because, you know, we do want to see those young guys kind of push themselves over the line and get into the playoffs. But, you know, a lot of those older veteran guys that have been around, you know, aren't really kind of high on the popularity scale, I would say. First and foremost of them is Andrew Ladd, the guy who, you know, we keep harping on this, was brought in for these types of situations because he's the veteran leader who's won the Stanley Cups and all that stuff. And he's been back for a few games now, and they kind of brought him back a little bit at a time. Trotz didn't want to play him back-to-backs or, you know, whatever, two out of 3 days, and that was fine. But now he's played a bunch of games in a row, and, you know, sometimes he looks okay, but he's just not putting the puck in the net. And with the injuries they have now, they're going to need him to do that. And, like, they can't have a guy who's, you know, 33 and just sort of skates around a little bit and is okay defensively. Like, they need a guy who's going to score goals. And I think that kind of goes for, you know, a few other guys on the team. I don't want to bring up Josh Bailey because I know he's kind of a powder keg for everybody. And he's got 50 points, so, I mean, he's done pretty well. But he's another guy who's going to have to step up a little bit and start putting the puck in the net. I mean, they've made it this far largely on the strength of Anders Lee and Brock Nelson, who have had good seasons. Barzal, obviously, as the distributor. And Casey Cizikas, and he left for a while. He actually missed the two games over the weekend with an injury. And he came, and so the fact that they lost one is not surprising, but they need him there. And that just shows you how thin they are at center, especially, is that they need Casey Cizikas because he's got 19 goals. And that's, you know, third on the team. They're going to need somebody to put the puck in the net if they're going to win some of these games. And it can't be just Lee, Nelson, Barzal, and Cizikas. Like, those four guys need help. And that help is going to have to come from guys like Ladd, Beauvillier, Jordan Eberle, who we'll talk about again. He might be injured now. I agree. Like, the Islanders are a weird team in that they've got a bunch of guys who are really old and a bunch of guys who are really young and who've never been through this before. And so, I mean, hell, even Robin Leonard, I mean, all those years in Buffalo, I mean, they weren't even anywhere close to the playoffs. So, I mean, this is all kind of new for him too. But yeah, they're going to need everybody kind of pulling in the same direction if they're going to get themselves over the line. And it feels like the whole season is falling apart because these are the Islanders. And we've seen teams fall apart from any number of reasons, from any number of situations. And I don't want to feel like it is, but you can't help feel like it is, though, right? Like, it just, that's the way it is.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and there was like a chance for like a little bit of optimism today if like maybe the Islanders had kind of indicated a little bit of different, you know, lineup maneuvering with, but that didn't come to be. And I think that like the thing with Ladd that frustrates me is like after the game they kind of asked him. I think it was Gross asked, you know, or Brian Heyman, whoever's covering the game, said, you know, asked Ladd where, you know, what to do about Filppula, or, you know, how the team's going to react about Filppula. And he just gave like the boilerplate, you know, we've handled adversity, you know, injuries before. And I was like, no, they haven't. They've been very healthy all season. Part of the reason they've done, you know, have succeeded and kind of exceeded expectations is because Ladd and Hickey were really, I mean, there were some injuries early on in the year, but that was really it. And so, and I'm reading way too far into this, like, very small quote that he's probably said 100 times in his career, but it just shows that he kind of maybe isn't as engaged with the team. You know, he's been away for a while, obviously. It just isn't doesn't understand what this team's been through. And now we've been talking about how, like, for certain parts of the season, like Michael Dalcol was all of a sudden the most important player on the Islanders. He kind of made them go. Then it was Cal Clutterbuck when he got hurt. Like, you realize how important he was. Matt Martin, when he went down. Like, this kind of stretch right now, Andrew Ladd is pretty much the most important player because he's going to have to play top 6 minutes, play on the power play, and he's going to have to produce.
That's frightening. That's, like, absolutely frightening, that the idea of that. But you're right. You're 100% right. And, yeah, he's going to need to step it up. And I mean, if he's never going to live up to that contract, like, period. He's never going to get there. But if he wanted to show something to the franchise that signed him to that ridiculous deal, now would be the time. You know, go into Montreal, score a goal, make something happen. And, I mean, I wonder how engaged he was, because when they asked him about making up for injuries, he's the injury. Like, so, I mean, I don't know. It's almost like whoever the reporter was, should have asked somebody else, like, hey, have you dealt with this? How are you going to deal with Phil being gone? I was like, well, we've dealt with this guy being out, so why wouldn't we deal with Filppula being out? So, I don't know. It's, you know, again, he's the guy who should be at the forefront of things and should make things happen, because they can't just win every game 2-1. Yeah, they played great against the Canadiens and won 2-1. Yeah, they lost against they played great against the Red Wings but lost 2-1. And they played badly against the Wild and won 3-2. Like, that's the way they've won this whole season. And if you're going to do that, that's fine. I shouldn't say you can't do that, because they can. They have won that way. But they're going to need somebody to help score those two goals. And it can't just be the same four guys that have scored all year.
And just one more thing about, like, I know Arthur Staple said, I think he called Ladd, like, creaky or something in his Q&A, like, that, you know, he's probably not 100%, and he probably isn't 100%, which is fine, but at this point in the season, like, you're supposed – no one's 100%. Yeah. Like, not one guy on the team is, and he's supposed to be the guy, even if he isn't 100%, like, he is supposed to be the guy that still bangs bodies and makes things happen by doing that and by just, like, willing his way to success, and it's frustrating because he's now, like, just the whole season. Yeah. I don't want to overreact, but I will. This Islanders' success really is he's, like, paramount to it.
Yeah, I know. And again,
I kind of wish I could say that to him, you know, just be like, Andrew, like, I know the season hasn't gone to plan, and like, nobody really is thrilled with you around here, but you can make one hot goal scoring streak and people will be buying your jersey. Like, that's it.
It only has to last 9 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Once, you know, get him into the playoffs. I wonder if maybe that's why they brought him in to ride shotgun with John Tavares, because they have the same sort of, like, wet paper towel personality. You know, like, this two guys that, you know, you could put a grenade in their pants and they would never even flinch. You know, it was like, yeah, all right, whatever. So, let's talk about some of the upcoming changes and where they go for these future games they have coming up this week, right after these messages.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. They have the Islanders have games coming up Thursday in Montreal, Saturday, in Philadelphia, which is a whole other horror story. Sunday they are home to the suddenly playoff entrenched Arizona Coyotes, and then Tuesday they play the Columbus Blue Jackets, I believe, again. So in Columbus. So let's start with the game in Montreal, and there's going to be changes because, as we said, Val Filppa left the Bruins game with an upper body injury believed to be his shoulder. Jordan Eberle was announced as he's out 4 weeks, by the way, Filppa. So should the Islanders qualify for the playoffs, and again, there's still a pretty good chance that they are, in case you forgot, he will not be available for at least the first couple of games of that series, whatever, whoever it's against. Jordan Eberle was announced today as being day-to-day. He's traveling with the team, so I guess the feeling is that maybe day-to-day meant just today. But also, if it's not a huge deal, they are going to be home on Sunday, and, you know, maybe they'll have just Tom Kuhnhackl or somebody play in his stead in two games, which, again, is not a great idea, but we'll talk about that. And then they called up just this evening, they called up Tanner Fritz from Bridgeport. Now, honestly, nobody's really thrilled about it, but I am heartened by the fact that his name is Tanner Fritz and not Steve Bernier, or even worse, Steven Gionta. He's not either of those two guys, so we should be thankful for that. No, he's not Josh Hosang, but Josh Hosang isn't a center, which is what they need. And when people are like, oh, where's Hosang? Was it like, the dude plays a different position, and they have no centers. Literally, in the entire organization, you are looking at all the centers, and one of them is hurt now. So Fritz was really the only move they could make. I mean, they could have brought up Otto Koivula, I guess, but he's still kind of too raw. So I'm hopeful that Fritz can, you know, because he did show something in his last NHL call-up last year. So I think it's not the worst thing in the world, but like we've been saying, they're going to need help from some of these guys. And if Eberle is out for a long time, you know, they're going to need to call up Hosang, because Tom Kuhnhackl ain't going to cut it. Like, he just ain't.
The Fritz thing to me was the Islanders could have done a couple other things that maybe could have made room for Hosang, but they're just never going to do that. The Islanders are very much, they've been this way under Snow too. Like, it's always a like for like swap. People were saying maybe they could play Beauvillier or Bailey at center. And I just don't think they wanted to do that. You know, I think Bailey fits like the wing on the worst line okay. Like the numbers haven't been good at all, but I'd much rather see Josh Bailey playing on a line there, like, and like some, you know, because he has like a little bit of scoring touch and is responsible defensively, than, you know, putting Leo Komarov and Tom Kunackle on the same line.
Long time Lighthouse Hockey readers will remember the days of the "is Bailey a center or a winger" debates, which raged for months, literally months, until finally it was determined he's a damn winger, and he's been very successful at the wing over the last like 4 or 5 years or so.
Yeah, so I mean, I think Tanner Fritz can score. I think he's got something like, you know, 18 goals or something this year in Bridgeport. Yeah.
He's a half a point of play, half a point a game, I think, is thereabouts, maybe just a shade above. So,
and I hope, like, I hope it's still, we see the line tomorrow, and there is maybe a little bit more of like a shakeup than just Fritz, you know, slotting in for Filppula and playing with Komarov. The question that we've asked and will be asked now is like, what does Leo Komarov have to do to kind of get scratched? Which I think we've now learned is basically, you know. Pull like a Ponzi scheme or something. There's nothing any of us can do. Like, Leo Komarov is going to be playing left wing or wherever he plays on the third line for this team, unless, you know, something happens. Like,
according to Staples Q&A today, it's all about the PK, and it's got everything to do with the penalty kill. And Dal Colle will get into one of these games. That's a guy we haven't talked about too. I mean, we would all rather see Michael Dal Colle in the game than Tom Kunackle. Dal Colle, he's been a scratch for five straight games. He's probably going to get in. Trotz was just saying that they needed, you know, somebody who could, I guess, be more defensively, whatever, maybe even play on the PK. But that's the reason, like, Leo hasn't sat. And we talked about this last week or a week or two ago. Like, I think now you can't. Now you're stuck because you got to play him. But it would have been beneficial, I think, to give Leo a couple of games off. And the funny thing about Trotz is that, you know, for all the complaining that people have done the last couple of days about the lineups, like, he's sat Johnny Boychuk. Like, Johnny Boychuk has been a healthy scratch for two games because Trotz liked the way the defense was playing. And, like, that's got to take a really, like, a set of real steel balls to go up to Johnny Boychuk and be like, you know, the clubhouse leader and you know, Stanley Cup champion and guy everybody loves. We love him too. And just be like, no, man, you're going to take the night off and you're going to sit. I mean, I'm sure Johnny wasn't happy about it. So it's not that Trotz is afraid. I mean, even with Ladd, like, I'm sure Ladd came off of IR and was like, okay, coach, I'm ready to back in. And Trotz was like, no, you're going to sit for a minute. So it's not like Trotz is afraid to healthy scratch a veteran. It's just you wish that Leo Komarov was that veteran that he would scratch at least once or twice.
Yeah.
But again, I think they're just stuck now. And so,
yeah, they're stuck. Yeah. And I think the Boychuk thing too, like, I was actually kind of surprised he said something along those lines because I thought he would just say, you know, he just got hurt. He's played a long season. We really need Johnny Boychuk for the playoff run. And, you know, a couple of days off would be good for a guy.
Which
at his
is
age.
Fine. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of hoping for. I was actually kind of surprised he kind of went off script there. But the Islanders are extremely fortunate that they have seven, you know, healthy, good defensemen. It's basically kept their season alive. Like, Their strength is obviously from the back forward, and but yeah, like the penalty kill thing too. I guess, like, it kind of makes sense. Like, me, you, the rest of Islander fans don't know, like, what goes into making a lineup like that. Like, at the same time, I just think, like, I think Michael Dal Colle, and, you know, you can probably find one other penalty killer if it means getting Dal Colle in the lineup over Komarov. But, you know, that's why we're sitting here on a Wednesday night and not, you know, preparing for Montreal tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just kind of thinking it over in my head. I mean, again, we'd like to see Michael Dal Colle get back in the lineup regardless. I think if Eberle is indeed out, and again, he did travel with the team, so I think that maybe they'll just see how he feels tomorrow morning or at the warm-ups or whatever. I would like to see Dal Colle play with Barzal and Lee. I wonder how that would work. You know, two guys who are pretty good in the corners. But, you know, I think, you know, we talked about Dal Colle being a good defensive presence and a guy who can get you the puck and kind of hound, you know, he's the guy who gets the puck. And with guys like Barzal and Lee, that's what they need. I mean, just feed the puck to Barzal and he'll figure it out. And then obviously Lee is sort of net front guy. I think that would be an interesting line to try. I mean, again, it's not up to me, unfortunately. Then I guess you could have Nelson, maybe Beauvillier and Bailey on the second line. You know, that's kind of a defensively weak line, I would think, although Brock has been much better this season. So I don't know, that would probably be where I put those guys. And then, of course, you have Fritz, I guess Ladd and Komarov. I guess you're going to have to try somebody there.
It's a team full of square pegs and round holes. Like,
it really
and that's
is.
And that's how it's been. And that's why they were so lucky that their depth hasn't really been tested to this point. Like, think right. When I saw Tom Kunackel taking practice in like that third line center role today, or
yeah, we all thought Leo was scratched.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, and then I think at this point, like, if you're playing your best lineup, or if you're playing what Trotz thinks is the best lineup, it's going to be Fritz, you know, playing in between probably Komarov and Kunackel, and he's probably not going to, if Eberle's in, he probably won't play Del Col, which is very unfortunate.
And then so after the game against the Canadiens, they have to go into Philadelphia and play the Flyers, a team that has bedeviled the Islanders now all season long. Before the that game against the Bruins, the most disappointing game of the last month or so was that home game against the Flyers on Bill Torrey night. Everybody was all excited, and the Islanders fell flat on their faces and lost 5-1. They lost. That was the second time they lost the Flyers that week. Also fell on their faces, you know, a couple of days earlier in a 4-0 loss. So now they have to go into Philadelphia to try and salvage this season series. I am definitely not looking forward to that game. Yet another reason why I'm really hoping they can win in Montreal, a place that actually hasn't been too bad for them on Thursday. I'm really not. I'm actually going to see Captain. I'm not Captain. Jeez, I'm going to see Shazam that afternoon. So I'm actually going to have to leave the house before the game is over. So I'm hoping that it's decided kind of either way, so I don't have to interrupt my my movie watching to see what the hell happened. But I'm not looking forward. I'm more nervous about that game than I was even about the Bruins game, and saw how that turned out.
Yeah, I let's just, you know, like you said, you hope that they get to 2 points or at least a point out of Montreal. The reason I'm not terribly concerned about the Flyer game is that they hopefully by that point, you know, the Flyers have kind of just mailed it in. They're like, all right, we're done. You know, I think they play tomorrow. So if they lose tomorrow and are kind of just in like play out the string mode, because there'll be like 8 games left. And
it'll be a bunch of guys from Lehigh Valley, basically. Yeah,
let's just hope it's that. I mean, they should just match up well against that team too, because the Flyers are, especially with Scott Gordon, like trying to play that, you know, high press style, the Islanders should be able to absorb that offense and shoot it back the other way on counterattacks, but it just hasn't worked for them in the games they played against them. And you'd need 3 out of 4 points out of those 2 games to then go, I think, what's the Coyotes game at 3:00 on Sunday, which is just another really, really strange. Like the NHL is just like throwing these like weird banana skins in the Islanders schedule. I think obviously these are computerized schedule makers, but I just think the Islanders, or the NHL, has probably just put the setting to be like, this team's not going to be contending, so let's just, you know, just make it wonky as hell. It won't matter. No one's going to be watching anyways. You can't not come away with 5 out of 6 points if they want to stay in the division race. And if they don't stay in kind of shouting distance of the Capitals, it means that they've now dropped into the shouting distance of the last playoff seed. Like, sure, they're not guaranteed to be in the playoffs, but like, let's just assume that they get in. Like, if you do not want to be caught by the Blue Jackets and Hurricanes and Canadians, whoever else is, you know, coming for you in that second wild card spot. So, like, if dropping 3 points out of these next 6 will put them in that wild card race, which will be a disaster.
Yeah, that would definitely be bad. By the way, breaking news. So the Caps lost in overtime to the Lightning tonight, 5-4. So their lead now in the division is 3 games. So even if the Islanders were to win in Montreal Thursday, they would not jump back into first place. And this is exactly what you're talking about. Like, if you lose points before you know it, you go from second in the division to a wild card spot, and you're losing your home ice advantage, which for the Islanders would be huge. You know, not all is lost. I mean, there's still time to, you know, get back to the division lead or at least finish in second place, get home ice for the first round. But yeah, this is not a time to kind of be not focused and go into an arena, into a game, not looking, you know, sharp and being ready. And I have been on the Broad Street Hockey podcast twice now. I'm going to be on it again on Friday night talking to Kelly. And the last time we spoke, she asked me if the Flyers did anything in the previous game that I thought, you know, kind of messed the Islanders up. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I think if the Islanders come out and play their game, they'll be all right. Well, clearly I was wrong, because something the Flyers do messed the Islanders up a lot. And we saw a lot of odd man rushes against them in the two games they've played recently. And that's something that the Islanders need to stop. But we haven't seen too many odd man rushes against the Islanders at all. And somehow the Flyers have figured out the formula for getting behind the Islanders D and getting those odd man rushes. And the goalies haven't played particularly well against Philly this year for some reason. I don't know why. And then, you know, with the Coyotes, I mean, how many years now has it been where even for the Islanders, you look at a game against the Coyotes and you're like, oh man, that's 2 points they're going to have. Like, this team is not that good. Well, guess what? They're a playoff team right now. And that team is going to want to solidify their playoff position too. And man, if you're a Western Conference team, that's got to really suck to come out to New York in March. You know, like, why is that? Why?
Yeah, it's like the same thing as the Islanders. Yeah. Maybe it's the Coyotes. They're like, this team's not going to contend. Nobody, you know, really cares about them outside of Arizona. And so let's just throw, you know, we'll just throw them there. I mean, I've actually paid a little bit of attention to them this season because I bet them before the season started to win the Stanley Cup. They were 100-1.
Okay.
And because I think Antti Raanta is just like, he's a really good goalie and he's been hurt all year.
Right.
And they you know, they've still, you know, kind of just stayed afloat in the terrible West. But they have like some skill up and down the lineup. And obviously, like, Ekman-Larsson's real good. And Galchenyuk, like, there's a lot of talent there. But like you said, like, this is a team that the Islanders, they're going to be favored, like, going away. But it's just, it's hard to, like, to imagine the Islanders doing that to anyone. Like,
I know. Yeah.
Like, when was the last time the Islanders, I know, like, they really outplayed the Canadiens and they played really well against the Red Wings, but they didn't blow either team out. Like, the last time the Islanders blew the doors off someone was against the Leafs. And
yeah.
And sure, they're not the type of team to be set up to do that. But if you're a team contending for first place in the division, you need to be able to do that one, to just have a couple no doubters.
Yeah.
I would just love, like if they lose the Canadiens or they lose one of the games, if they can just put in like an effort where they do blow the doors off a team and perhaps, you know, grab a point or two in the other game, like, I'll be a little encouraged as well. Like, I just love, there's been no, you know, hang your hat performance like that since the Leafs game.
Yeah. The I mean, the only, they blew the doors off the Kings. Remember that? That was way back early in the season. They won 7-1 or something. And then I feel like there was another one. Yeah, the Leafs game was, what was that, 5-1?
Yeah, both Leafs games.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, it's been, they've been too far in between. They haven't put together a stretch of games. I really thought that Canadiens-Red Wings game, like, this would be the stretch, but it's not.
Yeah, the Red Wings went and messed everything up. that should have been it. I agree with you. And I think, you know, I mean, I don't know if the players would admit it, but I feel like if they got a blowout, like, where they just, you know, everything was going in and it was kind of a laugher, I think they would appreciate that too. Like, they, you know, they've been under so much pressure all year to kind of keep afloat that I think they would like one of those kind of blowouts too. They obviously just got blown out, so they would probably like to return the favor to somebody else. This is such a brutal week. And the more I thought about coming into it, the more worried I was. You know, they played the Canadiens great, and I was like, that's awesome. Then they played the Red Wings really well, and I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, again, the game against the Wild, they were 9-0 at one point on back-to-backs this season, the second night of back-to-backs. And so I thought, like, it was kind of like that. The fact that they played pretty poorly and still lost, I thought was kind of a karmic retribution thing. This is the way teams normally look on back-to-backs. So, I mean, I wouldn't be the fact that it's happening in March, unlike the 12th back-to-back of the year, didn't really bug me. But having seen them, you know, fall completely on their faces against the Bruins has really made me worry for this week. And there's a potential here for this whole thing to come really off the rails. And, you know, I know we joked at the top that the season was over, but, you know, this is between going to Montreal, going into Philly against hosting another playoff team. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, next week they got the Blue Jackets and Winnipeg Jets. You know, things can get really ugly in a hurry here. And not only would that suck for them playoff seeding wise, but man, just this has been such a fun season. And like, you really want to see them rewarded for it. You know, I mean, they've squelched so many of the questions that we've had for them, and they've put to bed so many of the concerns that we all had. I mean, geez, we've said it a million times. We almost didn't even do this podcast because we didn't know what we were going to do this year. And not only have we had fun, but it's been a great time watching this team and kind of seeing how they formulate, you know, how they've changed. And it's been great. And I would hate for them to kind of end up as the seventh or eighth seed and then, you know, have to play somebody in the first round that is going to blow their – God forbid, if they end up in seventh seed and end up playing the Caps in the first round, I mean, that's a tough go. Yeah, maybe they can win, but – that's going to be rough. And then, God forbid, they end up eighth and have to play Tampa. Yeah. Well, that's it. You're done.
It's just that they deserve so much more than that, right? They deserve so much more than being the 2006-07 Islanders where they got bounced in the first round. And this team deserves to you know, write a cool chapter of Islander history. Like, they've already done it, but they deserve, like, a, you know, at least a decent ending. And that's what's unfortunate. And obviously sports are, you know, life is unfair. Sports are unfair, but like, this team deserves so much more. And like, that's what I is the most concerning part is, like, you just hope that they realize like that and aren't, or the, I guess maybe don't realize and aren't like kind of resting on, oh, well, we weren't supposed to be here anyways. And, but I mean, I haven't seen that. It's like yesterday was the first game where I really felt like they kind of just threw in a towel right away. Like, they just were like, this game, it's just not for us. Like, we're not, I don't want to be here, whatever. And then obviously it's demoralizing to see, you know, Val Filppula, who his 1 year deal, his 1 year, like, basically no, there was really no kind of risk to his deal besides the fact that he's not the greatest player anymore, but he showed up in spades. Like, this guy, he scored 130 goals this season on like 131 shots. And,
right.
You know, I always joke that, like, Casey Cizikas's goal total is like we say NHL best, meaning they lead the league in goals, but like, Casey Cizikas probably has the NHL is, you know, his 19 goals are the NHL best, because the fact that Casey Cizikas has 19 goals is just mind blowing.
Right.
And I think Filppula is like right behind him in that kind of pecking order. And, so maybe like that kind of jumps the ship that they want to win and get like Val back out there for the second round or when he's back. But hopefully it's one of those darkest before the dawn kind of scenarios and not darkest before it's just the lights are out completely.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, hopefully this is exactly the low ebb before rising like a phoenix out of Arizona, as Frank Costanza would say. All right, let's start to wrap this up before my computer decides to freak out again. Couple of things. Thanks to everyone for coming out to the Isles Buzz live podcast at the Offside Tavern on Saturday. Everybody asked for you, Mike, just so you know. They were all like, hey, where's Mike? And I was like, he couldn't make it. Maybe next time. we had a great time. If you haven't listened to it yet, you should. It's you know, about an hour and 45 minutes long, but it's definitely worth it. I had never met other Dan before. He's great. He kind of held court, told a lot of great stories, a lot of great Whaler stories. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, Pierre McGuire's name came up, and found out that Jimmy Page is eating at the Sbarro's Pizza in the mall up there where the Whalers played. So that was disappointing, I got to say. Find out Jimmy Page eating Sbarro's Pizza is really, really sad. But we had a great time. All the guests were great. CJ Papa, Nick Hershon, Jillian Fisher, everybody had a great time. And Nick, the owner of The Offside. The Offside is great, by the way. I'd never been there before. It's such an awesome place. I mean, they have Mario Kart Mondays there, but it's a great size. There's a room in the back where we were able to watch a game and enjoy it. And then they have, like, you know, the podcast area there for other live podcasts. And it's stupid easy to get to. I mean, I get lost in the city just, you know, turning a corner, but it's between probably half a dozen different subway stations. So if you're anywhere in the city, you can get to 14th. It's between 6th and 7th. You go down there. It's awesome. It really is. I'm glad I finally went. I had a couple of Oyster Bay Brewing Barn Rockers while I was there, so I was really feeling the Islanders moment, and I definitely will be back again. So thanks for everybody coming out. It was a lot of fun. SneakyAthletic.com. Put anxiety in the discount code box. You save yourself 10%. They got lots of cool stuff down there. Check it out. We've been saying it all year. SneakyAthletic.com. Save yourself some money. Put in anxiety in the discount code box. This week's NHLNames.com NHL name of the week is...
Good coverage there by Lyubushkin.
Ilya Lyubushkin of the Arizona Coyotes. I hope he plays. He's with them, but he hadn't played the last game, so...
Thought you were just going to go with Nicholas Jarmelson, who was used with an Islander draft pick in that Alex Karpatsev trade.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Not kidding.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. That's unbelievable. Yep. There's a lot of guys that are around like that. That was like, wait, that guy was an Islanders draft pick? Jeez,
yeah.
Because there's so many trades. God. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm sad that I didn't.
I always thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
That was during the era when the Islanders were like sort of decent and would make the one trade at the deadline and get, you know, like the Yanni Ninemas or Richard Zednicks of the world.
Right.
And they'd always try not to come play for the Islanders.
That's pretty funny. Wow. Well, so yeah. So, all right. Well, Lyubushkin is with the team. He didn't play in the last game, but he's with them and he's played, I guess, a little while. So, I didn't know who this person was. I thought he was totally made up. But, if you don't like that, Nicholas Halmerson, Super Nintendo Charmelson is also a candidate there. I figured everybody knew him because he's been around and he won all those cups with the Blackhawks. And he's got a weird helmet. He's one of those guys. He's like in the Ryan Getzlaff club. Like the helmet doesn't look like it fits him. And
Leo Komarov's in that club too. Leo Komarov's helmet is pointing up at all times.
Well, because he doesn't like the visor, but he wears it. But like Ryan Getzlaff looks like he's been wearing the same helmet since he was like 8 years old. And he's got like a huge adult head now, and he's still wearing this tiny helmet. So
yeah, and actually, I know you like Roman Turek because of his Iron Man mask, and I like Roman Turek because of his Iron Man mask. But his name popped up on on this date in history at the Coliseum scoreboard when I can't remember the context of the game, but Roman Hammerlick scored on Roman Turek, and that was this date, and then a couple, you know who. Another guy who popped up on one of those things where I tried to take a picture, but it disappeared right before it was Cliff Ronning. Ronning popped up. I was like, man, talk about one of the all-time greats.
Yes. All-time great Forgotten Islanders, Cliff Ronning.
Yeah. He got to wear those orange third jerseys. And I just think about Cliff Ronning and those orange third jerseys, and it's impossible not to smile.
That's so funny. He's definitely – we gotta do like a round table of like all the Islanders that people forgot were Islanders. And Cliff Ronning is absolutely at the head of the list. Like, he's a guy
who's unbelievably.
I mean, I think for people outside of the Islanders, Trevor Linden might be one of those guys. I will never forget Trevor Linden as an Islander. But I think for a lot of other people, they're like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. You know, he's another one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I just had another guy in my head, too, and I totally forgot. Oh, John Van Beesbrouck. Actually, we were talking about that on Saturday, me, Noel, and Dan talking about, how weird was it that John Van Beesbrouck was an Islander? It's just so odd.
They've had a lot of them. Ronning, I think Ronning was like the first. Well, Chris Osgood was like the first one where I was like, wow, I can't believe they got Chris Osgood. Like, he was one of my heroes. Like, I always thought Cliff Ronning was awesome. You know, a little small dude, and he's like with the Predators, and I was just like, this guy's good. And then he was an Islander, and I think I saw his first ever game as an Islander too, or maybe first home game.
Wow, amazing. He was always one of those good NHL video game players too, like in the old Genesis games. He was always really good, and he was one of those guys that you knew he wasn't that good in real life, but it was just awesome that he was good in video games. You know, like I'll take it. And it's exactly. Like Craig Janney too. Like Craig Janney was an okay player. He was a good, very good player actually, but on Sega Genesis he was just awesome. And you're like, this guy's really not this good, but I like that he's good here. I want to make a special shout out to a listener. Dan Hogg is a listener from way out in the East End of Long Island. He, once again, this is the only way I get shout outs is when people meet my sister, and then my sister is like, hey, this guy listens to your podcast. So, Dan, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. keeping our numbers high out there on the East End, where people forget Islanders fans live out there. You know, like, you know, it's not all about Nassau County, Suffolk County too. Yes. Tell everybody your Twitter handle again.
It's the Big Lebowski with two E's.
You should follow Mike at the Big Lebowski on Twitter. You should read Lighthouse Hockey every day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. The Islanders need to win on Thursday in Montreal. I don't know how many times I've said it. That's about it. That's all I can say. What else? Did I miss anything?
No, they just, please God, let them not blow this.
There it is. I think you just summed up the entire episode in one sentence. So I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks again for listening, everybody. And we will talk to you next week, possibly as early as Monday evening. We're going to try and get together after that Coyotes game and then preview the four games that are coming up. Okay, thanks a lot. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.